You're listening to Hard Drive DL, available at harddriveradio.com or download the Hard Drive Radio mobile app.
Greetings, Hard Drive Radio fans. It's Paulie here on Hard Drive DL once again, bringing you another kick-ass episode of awesome interviews with the artists you love. And this one is very special and near and dear to my heart. We have a Warped Tour double feature. I got to go out to the beautiful Jones Beach Amphitheater out on Long Island for the final run of the Vans Warped Tour. And I spoke to two bands that are very intimate with the show. That would be Asking Alexandria and Motionless in White. Motionless particularly has such a history with Warped Tour. I mean, I think they were on the tour about 9 different times. A lot of them were local shows just starting out in their hometown. They did the national runs later. And, you know, talking with Chris was just such a delight to see him kind of going back to those days and his best memories. And you'll hear it all coming up. But first, I got on the Asking Alexandria bus. Yes, they let me in on purpose. And I sat down with Ben Bruce to talk about his memories of the Vans Warped Tour. Check it out. Hey, everybody. Paulie here from Hard Drive Radio out at beautiful Jones Beach for the final run of the Vans Warped Tour. I'm aboard the Asking Alexandria bus with Ben Bruce. Man, it's good to see you again. How you been?
I've been great. I've been hot, and I've been spending each day in the pursuit for somewhere to take a dump, since Warped Tour doesn't want to provide anyone with a toilet. So,
well, some crafty fellow seems to have liberated a porta potty and kept it close by. So someone's thinking, at least.
It's the Amity Affliction. So today they stole a porta potty from the crowd and they drug it all the way through backstage for the bands to use. Heroes. And then the other day we had one toilet to share between the hundreds of bands here, and a truck driver put a padlock on it, so only the truck drivers could use it. So again, Amity Affliction went over with a baseball bat, knocked it off, threatened the truck driver to get back in his truck or he'd be on the receiving end of a baseball bat. And thanks to the Amity Affliction, everyone's pooping.
You don't mess with guys from Australia, man. They give no shits.
I told my wife the story, and I didn't mention like who did it or anything. She was like, "Were they Australian?" I was like, "Yeah." She's like, "Yeah, fearless, fearless."
They give no craps. Man, so the final run of the Vans Warped Tour, I mean, you guys have done this before. It's gone for 24 years. You know, how do you feel about it? How do you feel being on this last run? And do you have any good memories of years past?
Dude, I have a lot of good memories, a lot of bad memories. Warped Tour's a tough tour, you know. You ask any band, and it's probably one of the hardest tours you can do. But at the same time, I'm not that sad to see it go, because I kind of liken it to Friends, you know. It's like it's reached where it needs to go, and to keep something going, just to keep it going, it will lose a lot of that magic. So I think they're ending at the right time. I think everyone's like, even the crowd, I think they're coming prepared, knowing this is the last one. Everyone's having a good summer, and it's I'm sure Kevin Lyman will come up with the next great thing, you know.
Yeah, it's always good to go out on a high note instead of watching things kind of run down and go out quietly. That's never fun. You know, I think about traveling tours past that we've had here in the States, things like Mayhem and, you know, Ozfest, all those years, great Ozfest, and it just seems like it's hard to do a traveling festival like this nowadays. I don't think anyone's doing it anymore.
No, it is, and it's because it doesn't make sense. Logistically, it's tough on the bands, it's tough on the crew, it's expensive, and I think Europe has had it right for so long. They do the big pop-up festivals, it's like boom, and everyone that summer goes, okay, I'm going to travel, I'm going to go to Rock Am Ring or Rock in Park or Download, and people know. And, you know, Danny Wimmer's started doing that in the States too. You've got Rock on the Range, which is getting huge, Chicago Open Air. And I think that's the way forward. You know, every city gets their own big festival and everyone looks forward to it all year long, rather than Warped Tour, where there's a million bands, it's a million degrees outside, the sets are short, you know what I mean? I think people are just catching on, and the big festival experience, I think, is more fun, more memorable. It's easier on the bands, it's easier on the fans. It's just it's the way of the future.
Well, once again, you're upsetting the standard, and we're just trying to catch up to you guys. You seem to pioneer like the best in the entertainment trends, you know. So thanks for that.
Pretty great. You're welcome. You're welcome. It was all my idea and Danny's.
I hope you guys are getting some residuals for that. I feel like you should definitely get some.
Oh, this is the music industry. We don't get paid.
Sorry to tell you, kids, but no, I think you guys do really well. I mean, you know, you were doing two legs of a tour with Black Veil Brides when the self-titled album came out. You're doing Warp now. I think you got a bunch of dates coming up. I mean, you guys are touring your asses off right now.
We are. I think we're on show 85 and, is it more? 83? 83. And yeah, things just keep getting bigger and bigger. We keep getting more offers. We're actually getting a lot of arena offers now, which is really exciting for us. It's taken that next step in our career. And yeah, I mean, we're moving forwards.
I think you got that tour with Shinedown and Godsmack coming up in September too, right? That's got to feel good.
Feels amazing. And there's just to throw this out there, there's definitely a lot more of that to come too, which is exciting. So we're excited. We've made really good friends with the Shinedown guys. They've not taken us under their wing. They've just kind of embraced this weird friendship that we have. You know, they're older than us, but they're in it for all the same reasons we are. We all get on as people. And it's nice when you've been touring for 10 years. You meet a lot of bands, but you don't befriend a lot of bands. You make a lot of acquaintances. Those guys have generally become quite good friends. You know, we'll talk on and off the road, and it's exciting. It's good. It makes touring that little bit easier.
Yeah, I imagine going on the road with, you know, there's a difference that, and some people don't understand. You said it before, acquaintances, people you're friendly with, and then people who are genuine friends. Going on the road with people who are genuine friends definitely has to make it so much easier, I can only imagine.
Oh, yeah, and when you're away from your family and your friends and your loved ones, honestly, it's going to sound terrible, but the last thing you want to do is small talk every day with the same people. So it's like, if you're acquaintances, you're polite, you're cordial, that's fine. But every day you see each other, it's like, crap, what do I say to him today? Hey, how'd you sleep? You know, like, oh, good, all right, see ya. And it gets tiring, and it's like, ah. So, yeah, it definitely makes a big difference when you can sit down with a bunch of guys and just have some drinks, you know, play some dice, or not even say anything to each other, but just enjoy each other's company, you know.
I don't know if you're one of those guys who's, you know, just comfortable in silence. I know I am. You know, small talk is something that I kind of suck at, which is weird because I have to interview people for a living, but... Yeah. It's sometimes it's easy when you can just sit there. You don't have to say anything to people. You can just relax.
It's funny too, because when we were younger coming up, you know, we started this thing and I was 19. I was the oldest in the band. So Danny was 17, Sam was 17. We were young and we loved talking. We loved getting to know everyone. We loved going and drinks around everyone's spots. Like, let's party. Blah, blah, blah. Now we're getting older and we've been doing this like 10 years. That's literally the last thing we want to do. It's like, oh, please don't talk to me. Like, I just want to sit in my bus. I want to maybe climb in my bunk, watch some Netflix, chill. Well, there's not much chilling, Netflix and chilling in a bunk with one man and two hands, you know. But it's just, things are very different now for us, especially as you get older. I think that's the same for every band. So it's nice when you get to tour with a band like Shinedown again, or whoever it may be that's also older. And everyone understands that. There's sort of that unwritten respect and understanding that it's like, we don't have to go out of our way to party with each other every night. It's okay.
I want to talk a little bit about music. The single that radio is spinning right now is Alone in a Room. Tell me a little bit about writing that song and what went into it.
Alone in a Room was a funny one. It just came about very quickly, very easily, very organically. I had the music written, and it was it was one of my favorite songs that I'd written on the album. And when you strip it back to the bare bones of the music, it's very simple. You know, it's just catchy, straight to the point. And Danny came in, literally, and I think we were in the studio with Matt Good, and he was like, okay, I have an idea. And we're like, okay. And he went silent for, like, 40 minutes, disappeared. We're like, what's he doing? Like, we didn't know what was going on. And he came back in and was like, okay. And he just walked straight into the vocal booth, and Matt was like, okay, am I recording? We just pushed play. And it just came out so effortlessly for Danny as well, just like the music had prior, and it just... It was very easy, very organic, and it's turned out to be what I think is one of the biggest, best songs on the record.
You guys have actually been releasing, you know, you mentioned stripping songs down before. You guys have been releasing some acoustic versions that you've been working on as well, and I think they're, you know, they're amazing and kind of a testament to your skill as songwriters that, you know, if you can unplug the guitars and the song still sounds amazing, I think that's quality what makes a great song. So tell us about doing that.
I think it's funny too, because bands don't do that anymore. I know, like, a lot of bands that play heavy music, they're afraid to explore that side, and a lot of times fans aren't receptive to it. They'll be like, what is this? Like, but our fans, you know, ever since day one, really, we've injected rock, real rock, into our music and our songs, and so I think our fans truly embrace it and they enjoy it when we do that. And it's cool because it's like you say, if you can strip a song back completely to its bare bones and make it acoustic, to me, that's the sign of a great song, you know. And it used to happen a lot, like the MTV Unplugged, like Nirvana. What an album, you know. And it just went to show that's why Nirvana was so great, because they wrote good songs. It didn't need all the fancy production to still be good. And I think it's a lot of fun for us to be able to strip these songs back and take them to that place, and people still react to them the same as they do the album. If not, sometimes they prefer them, you know. And actually, we've been performing on this tour, on the last few tours, an acoustic rendition of one of our older songs, Someone Somewhere. And again, the crowd and us as a band prefer it to the original. And that's a testament to that song. You know, to me, it proves, okay, that song was always a good song. And now that we've presented it in this new light, there's more people now going, oh yeah, I love this. And you can really take in the lyrics and the message behind the song.
And you have a great video out there, too, of Someone Somewhere, where you guys, you know, you fly to Japan and you're playing at a military base. And it's a fantastic video. And I really insist people seek it out, watch it. It's on YouTube. And, you know, tell me a little bit about making that trip and going out there and just playing for those guys.
Well, it's funny because there are some people out there like, well, why are you paying homage to the American troops? You guys are English. You're British. What about our troops? And for starters, we dedicated it to all troops, men and women around the world that keep all of us safe, for starters. But secondly, we've lived in America for 10 years. My children are American. My wife is American. All our wives and girlfriends are American. This has become our home. You know, we moved here a long time ago. And so, yeah, the U.S., the military does directly affect us. And people forget that. We've been here so long. They're protecting us, too. They're protecting my kids. So we are very proud, and we are very supportive of especially the U.S. troops, because this is our home now, you know?
Well, I think you guys are killing it on the road right now. I'm so excited about this latest album. It's some of your greatest work, and I can't wait to see what's going to happen next with you guys. But I'm glad you're out here doing the final run of the Warped Tour, sweating it out one more time like the true road warriors you are. So, man, thanks for doing this.
Anytime. Thank you so much.
This is Hard Drive DL. Check out more. Download the Hard Drive Radio mobile app or visit harddriveradio.com.
Hey, everybody. Paulie here from Hard Drive Radio once again at the beautiful Jones Beach Theater for the final run of the Vans Warped Tour. And it's not the first time I've had to do this, but I am standing in a bathroom to do this next interview. But fortunately, I'm doing it with one of the coolest people I've ever met. And that's, of course, Chris Motionless, Emotionless, and White Man. It's good to see you again.
Just to clarify to everybody, I made you go in here. I wanted it, and the lights are off as well. I really wanted it to be ominous and creepy for this interview, so I did this to you.
It's true. And actually, the last time we talked at Warped Tour was maybe 2 years ago, and we were actually outside on the deck, and it was like the opposite. It was a beautiful, bright, sunny day, but the seagulls would not shut up, and I think we were trying to make seagull noises through the entire interview. It was a good time.
I'm glad we're without that today. No threat of getting seagulled on, so to speak.
Oh yeah, no, it's like, you know, dive bombers out there, man. Yeah. It's nuts. Yeah. But it's the final run of Vans Warped Tour. And I mean, I think you guys, more than most of these bands, know, just because you've been doing this tour for so long, just like the importance of it. So maybe let's take like a little trip back in the Wayback Machine and think about maybe those first few shows that you guys did on Warped, and just, you know, the memories that it brings.
The Wayback Machine, I think we'll hop in the DeLorean and go back. It's just so crazy to think, like, We just played our hometown show 2 days ago, and I was explaining to people from on stage, like, 2005 was the first time we ever appeared on Warped Tour, and it was a stage that was just so buried in the middle of where no one could see it. And just to have then been standing on the stage in 2018 and getting to say goodbye, and you know, we had Kevin come up on stage and just got to, like, give our proper send off. It's just something I never expected to happen. And when I think back to those early days, I think of playing in front of 10 people or 15 people and hoping that something would eventually happen for the band. And we actually just converted some of our old VHS tapes to digital so we could watch those old days. And man, it is a trip. Like, I don't even recognize myself. There's 10 people standing there, crossed arms, just kind of like, what is happening right now? And it's just, it was wild to actually see that, because I haven't seen that footage in probably 10 years or so it's interesting to look back on.
You guys put out a very short mini documentary talking about it, and it's filming you kind of walking around the grounds of Montage, and there's spliced in that footage that I guess that's what you're talking about, because I've never seen that either. And it's crazy to see, you know, the difference. And not that I'm saying you're getting old, but like, you look a lot different now than you used to, man.
I'm a little older, a little, you know, dad guttier. It's definitely you know, back then I think I was fresh out of high school and just a kid with a million dreams. And now I'm still very motivated and still got a lot of dreams to accomplish, but there's definitely 13 years on the road has been a hardened time. I'll say that, but I'm still feeling good and I still want to do it for a lot longer.
Well, I mean, you guys have definitely built such an impressive fan base along the way. I know every time I go to a motionless show, because I see the people who fight to get to the front. You know, it doesn't matter what time you guys are going on, they're there the whole time because they need to be at the very, especially big festival shows.
Yeah.
They'll get there and they'll stay there through the whole day just to see you guys. It's impressive.
We actually, it's so funny you mentioned this, because the other day we knew a few people that were doing that, and some of them had to get out of the front because they just couldn't handle the crowd surfers anymore. And I know one of them, I was like, hey, I need you to be the mom of this situation and get the rest of them out of there. Don't put yourselves through this. Like, because we were playing late and it was already like the afternoon time by the time some of them got out of there. So I was trying to I feel terrible, but it's great to see that we have those kinds of dedicated fans. But at the same time, when you see those crowd surfers come over and just that shoe to that face, you're just like, oh man, I feel so bad. So it's a cool feeling to see it, but I also feel like worried for everybody, you know.
This has been such an iconic tour, especially for young bands that are up and coming. It's been great for exposure to them. Now that they're kind of ending this run, do you think there's going to be something else to take its place, or what, you know, what avenue do young bands have these days to get the kind of exposure that they get on Warped?
This is the biggest mystery to me that I can't wait to see what unfolds, because for all of my entire music career, there has been Warped Tour every summer. If we did Warped Tour one summer, the next summer we would do some other type of tour that's similar, whether it had been like All-Stars Tour or whatever. This will be the first year that so many bands have to experience the summer without Warped Tour. And I really don't know what to expect. I don't think anybody does. I think maybe in like 2 years something will pop up that will take its place. But for now, it's going to be a lot of bands like trying to go out in the summer by booking their own tours, and it'll be like the fall twice. Like, you will have summer headliners and then fall headliners, which is usually not the case. So at least for the Warped Tour world, I know, like, you know, the more bands like Slipknot and Zombie and everybody, they're doing their own summer tours anyway. But for all the bands in this world, it's going to be very, very interesting. And I don't know what to expect. It's like the biggest mystery of the world right now.
I think the gates are wide open for like a touring motionless festival, like, you know, like a Knot Fest or something. Like, we need like a motionless fest.
I'm 100% down with that. I think we could do some pretty cool pop-up like weekend events. That would be really cool. But we've actually talked about stuff like that before as a joke, but who knows, man? I mean, that's exactly what I'm saying. You're right. Yeah. Bands could do that kind of stuff now, because sadly Warped Tour is gone, but the competition is then gone. You know, it's, you're competing with each other, but still you can have that opening now to try to do that in the summer.
Because there aren't really a lot of like festivals this time of year in the States anyway. You know, we got the May when all the big, like, you know, Rock on the Range type things are, but for like June, July, August, it's not much going on. So I feel like there's a good hole for it. Let's talk a little bit about, you know, what you guys got going on for the rest of the year after you wrap up here. What else is on your schedule?
This is actually the last tour of the year for us.
Yeah.
So we have a show in Richmond. We're toying around with the idea of doing something on Halloween if it makes sense. But right now we are just going to get right back into the studio. This is the first time we want to try to get in the studio and have a record out in less than 2 years than the previous one. It's been like that every time. It's been 2 years or a little bit more. This is the first time we want to try to put one out right underneath that and see what happens, if we could kind of ride that momentum that we have from Graveyard Shift. So, we just want to get in as quick as we can and work on this album and get some new stuff for everybody to listen to.
I think I saw on your Instagram you were saying new album 2019. You think you're going to hit that mark?
Yeah, I 100%. Everybody's planning for it. Roadrunner's on board, all the management, everybody's there. We know what the goal is, and our hopeful, like, in a perfect world, it would be something releasing during like the Wimmer festivals all over the country. So that would be the in a perfect world. Yeah. Yeah.
So that's under a year, man. You got to get on that.
Yeah.
I don't know. I can't write music. I'm not good at that, but I imagine it's difficult. So hopefully you guys got some ideas ready to go.
It's been probably the most impossible thing to try to write music on this tour. I came out here, I'm going to do it. I'm going to spend a certain amount of hours a day working on music. I can't wait. It's now almost the end, and I haven't been able to work a single day on stuff because it's just so consuming every day to be a part of the tour. And then when you're done, you just want to chill. So we'll get right to it as soon as the tour is over and get right in the studio as soon as we can.
Can you normally write on the road? Is that something you usually do?
It's a lot easier on like maybe a support tour because you're not doing VIP, you're not doing the headlining type of ordeal. Like, it's just you're there to play your slot and that's about it. So there's so much free time. But on Warped Tour, there's signings. I do a class every day. There's press. There's just so much going on. So it's pretty impossible here. But we have done it before. It's been cool.
Let's talk about the class, because this is not the first time you've done that either. You've done the TEI talks in the past. Tell me a little bit about what that involves and why you enjoy doing it.
It's just a really cool way for me to get to speak to our fans on a deeper level. So many fans, I tell them this every day, so many fans have approached me or the band over the years and have said some pretty powerful things that most of the time when they're saying it, it's in a situation where I can't stop and it's at a signing and we have a huge line, so I can't really get to talk to them and go deeper into that. And I don't really do the online thing very much either. I try to stay away because I don't want to get sucked into the wormhole that it is. And I just saw this as an opportunity to get to talk to kids about my life experience, what they're going through, because I know for a fact I've related to them on so many life topics. And I just kind of try to share what I've been through and inspire them to look at life a little bit differently and get through some of the tough times that they're experiencing.
And I think it's amazing that you do that. You know, everyone kind of forms, anyone who's a big music fan kind of forms a bond with their famous artists. And for you to go out there and do that for these kids, I'm sure means more to them than you and I could possibly ever know. So, right. You know, on behalf of them, if they don't say it enough, thank you for that, because I think it's really awesome.
You're very welcome. I really like to try to use, I don't think I file under the with great power, because that sounds like I'm awfully high on myself, but I do believe, you know, with great power comes great responsibility, and I try to not abuse my whatever quote-unquote power that I've been bestowed because of this band. So yeah,
I've seen you guys live a bunch of times. I've seen you on stage and how commanding you are. Power is the exact word I'd use to describe it, man.
All right, well, power, that's fine. With great power comes great responsibility. Yeah. There, I said it.
Yeah. I think you guys just put out a video recently for Voices. We love the song. We're playing it. Tell me a little bit about the song and tell me about shooting the video.
Well, since we just finished talking, since this is a perfect segue, we just talked about the TEI classes. When I did it in 2016, it was so powerful to get to spend a whole summer talking to kids about that stuff, that both the songs Loud and Voices are about my experience and all the things that we talked about and the things, the emotions and feelings I had afterwards each day. And Voices is a little bit more geared towards the darker side of the things that we talked about, the really intense mental struggles that people feel every day all over the world, and the darkness that sometimes we're consumed by. So the song is about that, and the video reflects sort of these different type of internal mental struggles that people do with self-doubt, depression, anxiety, being your own worst enemy, all these different things. And we tried to kind of depict that in the video to really go along with the lyrics and bring it to life.
One last thing, I have to know where you got the shirt with the hypnotic swirl. That thing is freaking killer, man. Where'd you get it?
I had it made. I looked for one. I just typed it in and tried to Google it, because I thought, okay, that kind of works with the song a little bit, like in mental distortion. I thought that kind of worked with it, and I couldn't find it anywhere, so I just reached out to our merch company, and they made it for me in the last minute, too. I showed up to the video, and our manager walks in and had it in her hand. I was like, oh, God, thank you, because I was relying on that outfit for the video. So thanks for liking the shirt.
Are you selling it? Because I want one.
I can give you one, actually. I have some with me, yeah.
That'd be freaking great.
That's all you, man.
You're the best.
Yeah, but I was going to sell them if people wanted it enough, and they seemed to want it, so I'll have some more made and take some orders after the tour's over.
Awesome. All right. Well, one of the best dressed guys in rock and roll, absolutely, Chris Motionless. You're a hero to many and one of my favorite people, man. Thank you so much for doing this.
It's always a pleasure, my friend. Thank you for having me.
More episodes of Hard Drive DL at harddriveradio.com. Download the Hard Drive Radio mobile app and keep listening.